Blog Talk Radio.
Film, What I Know, it's an amazing film. That song talks about through all the stress and everything in life, no matter what happens, if you would still love me. And that's what we're kind of talking about tonight, the stress of life and everything that's going on. And boy, have I been under some stress. So I thought tonight we would be about love me through stress and all the things that go on. How people around you actually love you, even if you don't notice what's going on. So, hello, Rack. How are you tonight?
I'm alive. I'm good. I got you a great poem for what you're talking about tonight, I think.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you do.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I said, I'm glad you do.
Yeah, well, you come up with good topics all the time, unfortunately, relatable stuff.
Really? I'm glad I do. I hope so. I really do. I think so. I hope so. I'm trying to get back to where I belong here I'm like discombobulated right this moment. I'm like, where am I? Because Blog Talk threw me off a little bit. Thank you, Beverly. Raconteur, you put that up. I love that. It is a perfect song. I really, you know, would you still love me through it all? It's just one of those things. And I've got a lot of really great audio attachments and everything like that. And thank you, Miss Beverly. She put all that up. Deb is our lovely coordinator and owner, operator, and all swipping kind of girl at Team of Voices, which is what I am with on All Poetry. We're a little group inside of one of the largest poetry groups, which is All Poetry, and then we are Team of Voices. I would suggest you come on in and look around because we've got great poets like Raconteur himself, and there's a lot of fun inside. If you like to write poetry or just chit-chat about it, we'll have all that fun stuff inside of there. Raconteur, one of these days I'm just going to let you do my introduction and I'll have all that done, and I won't, like, as my husband would say, bounce around like Tigger, because I'm a bouncer. But I'm a bouncer. I do. I bounce from one subject to the next. You know, people that are like, I like things in a tight little line, we should never listen to my show, because I am not even like a butterfly. I'm more like Tigger. Oh, yeah, and then I'm off here following another subject. Yeah, I'm like, they're like, what, where are we? What are we saying? What is going on? Oh, I have no idea. And I wrote so different. I've been doing different types of poetry. And the other night, Hatter was like, what did you do to Sweepy? I don't know. I don't know. But I wrote a vanilla. I'm so bad at what I can say anymore. You know, I used to be a vanilla, yeah. I used to be a linguist. I used to like stand in front of thousands of people. I would give seminars in Vegas, you know, fill up the whole room and do seminars and talk and teach. And now I can barely like get words out. And it's because of all the problems I have with my heart and oxygen and all of this. And I get so angry with myself, like sometimes to the point of tears, because I can't enunciate words that I used to be able to like come right off my tongue and like they would just flow. And now I can't do that. And it really, talk about things that stress, that stresses me out because I'll see something and I can see it in my head. I can say it in my brain, but when it comes to brain to mouth, I can't do it anymore. And it really is so frustrating because I used to have this powerful lexicon. And I know I still have it because I can read, I can write, I you know, but to speak it, I get so very, because, you know, I'm talking, I feel like I sound so dumbed down and I get very angry with myself.
It's not just you. I have a similar problem dealing with people that don't speak the same language sometimes or aren't as articulate. You sometimes lose touch with some of the words that used to be right at your fingertips, you know, words you used to drop left and right. And now it's like, you know, oh, what was that word? I'm trying to remember what that word was. It really makes me crazy, too.
I know. Oh, I think Deb is on the line. Hello, Deb.
Beverly.
How are you?
Hey. Just continuing the conversation. How are you?
I'm good. See, I want to,
you know,
I'm hoping Hatter shows up.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just hoping to Hatter show because I wrote in a different form, a totally new form. I haven't done before, but I was very excited to do.
Well, as far as I know, he does plan to, but he might still be on the other line.
Very excited to surprise him again tonight.
I know somebody else is bringing you something with their own little surprise. So anyway,
oh,
and I put...
No.
Audio clips in
your
studio for you, and I wrote you a bedtime story. So we're going to de-stress you.
I wrote a vanilla.
Villanelle.
We were talking about that.
Villanelle.
We were talking about your rhyming vanilla poem, and I was saying how those are the moments I like when you show up with rhyme poems for Hatter or AP, even though you're not inclined to rhyme that often, or when they show up with some free verse for you because they know, you know what I mean? It, just those little things
right.
to let people know you pay attention to them that are really, really cool. And I know we were between the rhyme and the shock of no death or blood or or anything. It was quite interesting. But
I haven't done
no,
a
I love
death
those,
blood
blood
lately.
She did a poem with no body count.
I don't believe it.
She did, and it rhymed too, Rat.
It did.
And everybody in the studio commented, "Is like, where's our sweet? What did you do with her? And where's blood?"
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
But as far as not being able to pronounce words or remember them, that happens. The more years we are graced to stay on Earth on this side of the spectrum, the more words we can't bring. It sits on the tip of our tongue, and no matter how hard you spit, you can't get that off. So don't kick yourself about it. And nobody ever notices it. We still all are completely enthralled listening to you read.
Oh, thank you.
Listening to you talk, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, thank goodness. I got that for me. I can't talk. Yeah. Oh.
You're a commanding presence.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, as we fade away out of summer, I am, like, September 1st hit, and my biggest grudge right now is all of a sudden the whole world is about pumpkin. It is still 90 degrees outside. I do not want to curl up in a nice warm blanket and drink pumpkin. It still needs to wait at least another month. It's not time for pumpkin, everybody. Put the pumpkin away.
That's a whole other can of worms.
I
don't want the pumpkin
down.
When I'm snuggled up under the blanket. I like my coffee to taste like coffee. But I do know it's
I'm not a pumpkin coffee drinker either, but I like pumpkin pie. I like pumpkin cheesecake.
Yeah.
But let's wait till October. Who the hell is growing their pumpkins so they bloom and are big and funky in September 1st? No jack-o'-lanterns on Labor Day.
You have to be
We're
out of your door.
2 months away. I don't want somebody stockpiling their freaking Halloween candy now.
Here, here. It's not even time to put the barbecue away yet.
We're getting ready to barbecue on Labor Day. I mean, this is crazy.
Oh, and since Rack is here, I see that you made it through the floods and tornadoes unscathed, hopefully.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever went on outside my window stayed outside, so I'm happy.
Good, good. It was horrible, right? There was 15 tornado warnings, and 5 or 6 of them touched down. It never witnessed that in my whole life like yesterday. What case?
Yeah, I heard a lot of commotion, but I'm happily oblivious, so one of the few times, I guess, being disabled kind of worked to my advantage.
Well, I'm surprised your phone wasn't driving you nuts. I mean, all the phones were beeping, the TVs were beeping. There was the red thing alerts on the computer. It was like you would have thought it was the last day on Earth, and it was, you know, like 23 people died in Jersey.
I had some interruption of internet
that
service.
Awful.
Yeah, I
saw that in Jersey. That was awful.
I made
that was,
it through
really
the train.
Me too.
So, the world, according to the world, one of the things I want to talk about is the world according to the world. And many of the things that we think are really bad that aren't bad. So I wanted to talk about what we think is awful that isn't awful. Poetry. So.
Oh, you mean like cliches?
I kind of wanted to go. Well, no. Like, things that are going on in the world, we think have, like, oh, my God, how can we be a civilization like this? And how come we're facing this? And why is this going on? And normal stressors that, you know, our civilization is dying, it's horrible, why is this happening to us, and things like that. Because outside things, outside forces, you know, they put a lot of outside stressors on us. So we are always going, oh, you know, how can that happen? Why does that happen? Things like that. So I was looking at different things about, you know, why things in poetry that poets have written for hundreds or thousands of years ago that we're still facing. So I was running through my favorite things and trying to figure out if Shakespeare was really right, that things stay the same, we just change the actors on the stage. And now I'm looking for what I was looking for, and of course it's not where I put it. But to say the least, back in Homer or Ovid or any of your great poets, are still, their poems discuss what we're discussing today. Homelessness, war and
famine,
poverty, everything that we talk about today went on thousands of years ago, went on, you know, everything. So if we think the kids aren't going to make it or aren't going to do it or whatever it may be, guess what? Neither did they. So I don't know if that's good or bad or whatever it may be. But I kind of went, well, okay, I should check that off my list because maybe we'll never solve this problem and that's just part of life, or maybe I should work harder and maybe solve it before I die. So I'm not sure which way I'm supposed to go on that. But I went, okay, maybe I shouldn't work so hard at it because I'm not going to solve it by myself. So I thought maybe that's one of the stressors that can help the world. You know, do what you can, work as you can. But it's been 2,000 years after Christ or A.D., after dissension. But even prior to that, they hadn't solved it.
Yeah.
So just do what you can while you're here on Earth and do what you can do as a human being. And maybe if we all did our part, little by little, things will get better. But other than that, I'm not quite sure what else we can do. So I'm going to try to just go, oh, okay. So I kind of took a breather on that. There's this whole other thing that I'm trying to, like, de-stress myself about is I've always said, you know, there's that serenity prayer, which I've been saying it wrong the whole time. You know, I always thought it was make sure you can control everything and forget about what you can't control because there's no such thing. And then somebody came along and told me that's not the way it is. Who thinks that you can't forget about what you can't control? I didn't know there was such a thing.
Things I cannot change.
Have you ever heard of that? I never thought you couldn't change everything. What? Deb, do you believe that? I don't know. But
do I believe that there are things you can't change?
Yeah. Can you believe somebody said that?
Well,
I know Deb, she does that.
No, I was going to say, I know from personal loss that there are things you can't, like there's no change that could ever give me back my parents, for example.
This is true.
So I have a hard time believing that there's things that you can't at least try to change, but sadly I know there are some that you can do whatever and nothing is ever going to change it. As a matter of fact, I'll have to tell you later about how, on a smaller scale, I learned that exact lesson today in one of the chat rooms.
Yeah, there are some things. Well, we talked about that the other day.
Right now, I'd like you to know that I very much appreciate the giggle, and I don't miss that drama at all.
Good for you.
Good. Good. Because there's no sense, yeah. See, and that, as you know, from my point of view, you know, one kernel of popcorn, you just kind of throw it away.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's just the way I am. Let's see, where am I at? There I am. So we do have some.
Are you a mile poetry. High today?
I am in Mile High today. I am not in Wyoming. Thank goodness. I'll be there on Monday and Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hopping the border all the time.
I am. I'm crossing that border every day. But, yeah.
Well, you're a mile high in my home, in my bedtime.
Yeah, I'm always a mile high somewhere. But that's a different story. No, I'm not talking about that mile high, people. Never, never, never.
No.
Okay, so. No. I know.
Never say never.
Now, what's that song that has that starts with those lyrics, 8 miles high?
I'm going to go ahead, though, and start poetry since it's 9:22. I'm going to put up Budo because he has a pretty song. And I like his songs.
Mm-hmm.
I like Budo's song. There we go. There's that. And then where's Budo? I gotta go all the way back up. You know what I did in the studio? I used my name instead of my sweet name. I was like, and I couldn't find it when I wanted my intro song. So I'm looking for sweet, and I actually used my real name. I'm like, well, that was silly. All right, so here we go, bud.
You told me about today, how crazy life gets in the way. Too much too soon, I hear you say, when you try to make it end, you try to make it end. Far away, close your eyes and fade away. about today. Our crazy life gets in the way. Too much too soon, I hear you say. When you try to make it in, you try to make it in. Close your eyes and drift away, yeah. Let me play your dream to take you far away. Close your eyes and fade away, yeah. Close your eyes and fade away. Close your eyes and fade away.
That is definitely a stress reliever. I mean, I know you told me about today how crazy life gets in the way. Too much too soon, I hear you say. When you try to make it in, you try to make it in okay. What a beautiful song. What beautiful sentiments. Ah, close your eyes and fade away with me, with me, with me. Let me play a dream and take you far away. I love that. Let me play a dream and take you far away. Dan, 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 you just always make me smile. You always make me just take a breath and sigh and go, oh, yes, please. Let me play a dream and take you far away. Anytime you would like to, I'm right there with you. What a beautiful sentiment. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful just listening to your voice and calming. And I've got this now and I can play it whenever I want. You're an amazing lyricist. You're an amazing song. Love to listen to you sing, love to listen to you play. Really, really great job. So, Racky Core, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, this one's rough for me because of the perspective of it. It's almost like you've already given up, and you're saying when you decided to, you know, make it end okay, and you know, talking about a dream state and fading away. It's melancholy in that sense, you know. I mean, it's deceptively, lighthearted in one sense, but the overall thought for me is kind of dark. You know, it's almost like I'm giving up. You know, you just, you know, come with me and we'll call it quits. It's sad on the one hand, but you know, the melody itself is uplifting, so it's kind of hopeful in that sense, but, you know, overall it still feels a little dark to me.
I took it completely the opposite, like he wouldn't let her do that. Just come to me and we'll figure this out and we'll just take this dream and we'll go away. I didn't see it that side at all, but, yeah, I could see where that could be the other side of it. Really great comment. And Deborah Lee.
Well, for starters, I'm always in awe of how talented he is to be able to sit down and not only write the song, but write and play the music for it and then record it for us. I mean, impressive just in that alone. But I too got this, especially in the chorus, close your eyes and drift away. Let me make a dream to take you far away. Close your eyes and fade away to me. So it's like, you know, if the stress gets to be too much, just close your eyes and think of me, drift to me. And maybe she's tried to walk away but just can't. Instead, you know, she tries to fix things and make it okay. So I took it in a more positive, encouraging, trying to help somebody through kind of way. I don't know. Amazing poem, though. Mm. Amazing song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we always tell people, you know, it's what you get from it and how it touches you. And whether any of us get the exact meaning of the poet, it's the fact that that poet has the skills to touch us and send us in any kind of a direction at all and not just be ho-hum, you know, another roses or red, violets or blue poem. And that's definitely this thought-provoking.
Absolutely. All right, two. Brian just told me he's not going to call in, so let's go ahead and put him on the board. All righty. We go. I've got AP coming on. Hello, Mr. AP.
Hello, sweet. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm in good shape, scarily enough.
Good. That's awesome to hear.
Yep. How about yourself?
Right. Are you on a read and run world?
I can read and hang around for a little while. Sweet. So I'm not on a sort of bomb and run sort of mission today. I can hang around a little while.
Okay. Good to know. Well, then I will hold off on Frank if you want to throw up your poem. Literally throw
okay.
it up, but, you know, put it on the board.
No. But, you know, I completely understand. I will... I will grab it. And I don't think you've heard this one before, Sweet. And I was thinking about this because apropos your topic of people
okay.
actually keeping their calm and when things are very stressful, I should say that there, in this particular piece, when things were pretty stressful, the first person I called was my mum. And so my mum was sitting there keeping me honest through this whole process. And it doesn't come through, but she was actually the unmentioned star of the team, the Luke Longley of the basketball sort of world here, in this free verse, I'll say that again.
Oh,
shock,
wow.
Caper, scissors. And it goes, of course, a little bit like this. But one afternoon, I donated a checked blue shirt to a pair of razor-sharp scissors. Sleeves, then two drips attached, running fluids into my body with all sorts of things going beep. Under bells and whistles in the intensive care ambulance, roads parted ahead. Those beasts lumber and shudder like elephants from the inside. Once in, my right arm was physically stitched to the top machine behind me, and that kept me alive for the 4 days it took for my system to stabilise. I had been flat after medical treatments before the resolution, lemonade, jelly beans, and a few hours sleep. I was not sanguine, more resigned to the process of losing an afternoon. There were no fires burning in my alarm system, not a hint of smoke. Yet the heaviness refused to budge. I was not able to sit for a few seconds at a time before having to lie back down. So I called the hospital and had a chat along the following lines. Well, you know, it's hard to say. You sound fine. Cannot be that bad, but best to get it looked into. So, resigned to more time being spent in medical facilities, I called the ambulance and went through the checklist of questions. Their unit arrived in 10 minutes. They pulled out their mobile machine to check my vital signs. Guy 1 glanced briefly at Guy 2 before exiting with his radio. 4 minutes later, the mica arrived. My blood pressure was tacky at 55 and 35. The stretcher would not fit in the door. I was wheeled there in my office chair. When you are really sick, you don't think of love or ponder big subjects. You just have enough bandwidth to worry about having one less shirt than you started the day with. And that's a pretty clever defense mechanism right there. The color of the shirt has been changed in the story to help protect the innocent. End poem.
Oh, my God. Oh, AP, AP, AP. I am, A, in love with the Freebirds, in love with this story because it's so full of vivid imagery. It is a story that you and I have so much in common. Once again,
I thought you'd like it.
Our worldly apartness has nothing to do with the fact that you and I are meant to be friends because we have life experiences that come together. The missing shirt, the shirt they tore apart, the love of the shirt. I'm so sorry you went through this. 55 over 35, my friend. I'm glad that you're alive. A bit tacky? That's a little past bit tacky. This is crazy. Just saying.
Tacky Cardi.
Yet the heaviness refused to budge. I was not able to sit for for seconds at a time before having to lay back down. Yes, I can imagine. When you are really sick, you don't think of love or ponder big subjects. You have just no bandwidth to worry about having one less shirt than you started the day with. And that's pretty clever defense mechanism right there. And I have to admit, when I was in a car accident, and that's when I had my very first seizure, I hit someone. It was an 80-mile-an-hour head-on collision. I was up, walking around, refused to sit down until a very, and I will tell you this, a very large Australian paramedic sat me down in his very, very Australian accent and told me I was not going to move. Put me on a stretcher, wheeled me into the,
we could have said,
very gorgeous accent. I was very defiant about them cutting off my sweatshirt. And I'm go over my head and go, because I could wear it. I didn't understand why they were cutting it off. And the last thing I remember is just being very angry about them cutting my sweatshirt off. And then I don't remember anything until my husband seeing me in the hospital. But I had broken ribs and I had fractured my sternum to my heart and bruised my heart at the time. But all I remember is being angry about my sweatshirt being cut. And I find that very humorous.
Exactly right.
I didn't, to this day, I don't remember pain or anything. I just remember this Australian man setting me down, telling me to stay down, and then starting to cut out my shirt. So I love this story. It just brings back lovely memories of my beautiful sweatshirt I can no longer have, and just being angry about it. And I also love the resolution of lemonade, jelly beans, and a few hours of sleep. So if that's what gets you better, that's what gets you better. And Deb, what are your lovely thoughts on this great story?
Well, I must say that when you started off AP one afternoon, I donated a checkered blue shirt. So I was thinking, okay. And then you get to the pair of scissors, and I giggled. I thought, wait a minute. He donated it to a pair of scissors. And then as you went on, of course, I giggled with everyone else, too, until we got to the blood pressure at 55 over 35. And then by the time we got to the end of this very clever, yet it kept striking me with something I remember you saying, and I have a feeling that a lot of the stuff in here is true. It happened that day.
It is.
You just told it in a very clever way because I remember when your pressure bottomed out. So hell of a way to share that story and cut sweet stress and make her giggle all at the same time. So kudos.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure.
I'm back into it.
Yeah, it's a very relatable story. When I got into my car accident, oddly enough, the thing that I remember was, they're pulling me out of the car. I was half awake. I was blacked out most of the time. There was a chopper ride that I don't remember because I was blacked out and everything else. But, you know, the car was trying to talk to the guy. He wouldn't answer me. And when I looked down and saw my pants were all ripped and bloody, that was what I remember. Oh, shit, I like those pants. That's what I remember. It's odd what, you know, like you said, defense mechanism. I had to have been in shock because my right foot was almost completely amputated. It was severed 270
yep.
degrees. So, you know, I was definitely bleeding out. And, they had to actually, they were going to move me to a parking lot, decided I was too severe, and they actually shut down the highway and landed the copter on the highway. But I was out. I didn't even remember that. I just remember that the few minutes that I woke up when they were trying to pull me out, nobody would talk to me. So, and then I looked at my pants, and I was like, yeah, shit, I like those pants.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
That's unfortunate that you donated your shirt to the pair of scissors. That's a clever way of putting it. I really like that.
Thank you.
I really do. I really enjoy that. Hatter, come on. Hatter's not here. But I'm going to read my very new poem then, because AP's here, and then Hatter will have to catch up.
Okay.
But this is a surprise. It's a surprise again for everyone, because I went out of the realm of myself. Something has possessed me, and I don't know what it is. So be surprised and be gentle, because it is my first one. I know. It's very sad, but it's my first. So called Frost-Covered Windows on a Hot Summer Night. As 5 o'clock shadow cast monsters dancing on false smiles, sundown cooled the field of dreams into nightmare, and moonlight beams of romance turned hostile. Sunflowers hung their heads and weeping willows cry, the internal temperature of life growing cold. Frosted windows covered the pain inside. Words flying out lips without consequences, foul play undermines courage and thoughtfulness. Anger, resentment, and judgment, all accomplices. Stabbing realities, pinprick holes into the fabric of existence. Outdoor picnics and laughter seem simplistic. Idiots run the world with total incompetence. Hold my hand tightly as we talk in the sunshine. Listen to the birds sing songs and bluegrass tunes. Follow the sounds of giggles until my soul realigns. Silence and stress has held peace hostage. Stop the insanity and relax for a while. Float away, daydream, make the day worthwhile. Look in the mirror and find your above average. And hope. That's all I got.
Well, sweet. Between the tone in your voice when you were reading and your word choices, man, I was absolutely blown away by this line, stabbing realities, pinprick holes into the fabric of existence. Potent line. Holy cow. Hold my hand tightly as we walk in the sunshine. Listen to the birds sing song and bluegrass tune. Follow the sounds of giggles until my soul realigns. I think you did a beautiful job with this. Look in the mirror and find your above average. A nice message for the end, or should I say nice advice at the end. And I love the title, Frost-Covered Windows on a Hot Summer Day. I'm only going to steal one more. Just 5 o'clock shadow at monsters dancing on false smiles. Love that line. And I'll shut up and say some for others. And AP.
But it's a form.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your villanelle is impressive.
It's so close to a villanelle. I swear. I'd love to spend about 20 minutes with it and turn it into the villanelle form, because, of course, the villanelle is only 8 syllables per line.
What did I screw up?
That's why I didn't
say it.
It's got
to be 8 syllables per line. And you've got to have the repeating line from line one and line three go through the poem.
Okay, well, then I screwed up.
If you like.
The one I read was just line, rhyme and rhyme and rhyme.
Yeah,
okay,
no,
well, I tried.
Specific,
No, it was beautiful. That was the only reason I didn't say it, is because I didn't see the repeating line, so I thought maybe it was a different poem. That's why I didn't point it out. I do remember that you told me. I just, it's cool.
No, if I didn't want to know.
Wait. If you want to give me 20 minutes, I will turn it into a VLNL for you.
No, I want, turn it into a VLNL for me. Because I really want to try that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And if I give you an example of one of yours, you'll get it. Yeah, so it's a but, putting that to one side. See, I have a secret sort of thing about which songs that I like, Sweet. And one of my favorite songs in the world is by a one-hit wonder called Harvey Danger. And Harvey Danger did a wonderful song called Flagpole Sitter. They're still going 20 years later, and they never have done
a song. The name of the song again?
Flagpole Sitter. And in that song, it's got a couple of great lines, but one of the great lines is, I've been around the world and found that only stupid people are breeding. And that reminds me so much of your line in here called Idiots Around the World with Total Incompetence, because it's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing that you're tapping into here. And which is a brilliant sentiment and has to be applauded. And your efforts at putting a rhyming piece together have to be applauded as well. It's not easy, the VLNL form, at all. But I will take it offline and I'll come back before the show's over.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, because obviously I read the instructions kind of wrong, because I was in a very simplistic how to start writing these things. So maybe it was just like a basic start here, and then there's another step.
Maybe.
I think that it was a hell of a try, and I think that it coming down this way means that you get to look at yours and then look at how it's switched. And to me, that's the best way to learn. It would stick with me more if I got to see it in front of my face and see it turn into one.
Oh, absolutely.
Than just, so I think it'll be a good teaching tool to see them side by side. I've never tried one. I know they're not easy at all.
Yeah.
So I applaud you for giving it a shot. But, Rack, don't you want to tell her how wonderful it is?
It's a beautiful rhyming poem. I stay away from the forms. I tend to do AB or free verse myself. I know I've come close a couple of times to some forms, but I could never get nailed down the rules and look them up and at least not with the intention of starting out to write it that way. So, your imagery is always gorgeous and the metaphors fit beautifully with what you're talking about, I like what AP had mentioned in comparing that line to the idiots breeding as well. That's what I would say. I call that a signature sweet statement. That's a wonderful observation. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that you pick up on right away. You've got a keen eye for something like that. But, this is beautiful nonetheless, Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I'm glad you guys like it.
You'll have to let that make that one
rhyming again.
There's a signature Sweet statement.
Well,
I love that phrase.
It rhymed again.
I know. It rhymes impressively.
And there's somebody dying.
It's not.
No.
But I did do the 5-3 and the 1-4. So
you did. No, the form was right. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
It's the 19 lines was correct. Absolutely.
Yay, I got half the minute of it right. But okay, I'm very excited. Thank you for helping me. Eventually, I'll learn these things. Very excited. All right, so I guess we need to go back to Frank. because I do have him somewhere on the board. I'll bring him back in. Maybe I have him on the board. I think I might have taken him off. But that's okay. I can always bring him back on. Oh, Mr. Frank. I'm trying to, I get to go back to, oh, and up top of the whole father-in-law thing, I've got to tell you, if you have not gotten your COVID shot, go get your COVID shot. Please, please, please go get your COVID shot. I just cannot say that enough. At all.
I'm fully vaccinated.
Hatter, she's talking to you.
I'm telling you what, I've got a couple people I know that haven't. I've got friends that haven't, and I've got a sister-in-law that didn't, and she's very, very critically. She's ill. She's in the hospital. I'm very upset about it. So please go get it. Just get it done. All right, Frank, here we go.
Mama, they told me you couldn't breathe and your lungs were full of COVID pneumonia. I didn't know if you were going to make it, but would hurt me more. I was too far away. They wouldn't allow no one to see you, and you were all alone to face death, as I was hopeless to do anything for you, except wait, Mama. On the anxious telephone. My aching heart broke in two with the thought. They would never hear your angelic voice again. Papa was sick too, and I felt I was going to die with the dire uncertainty of my sober melancholy. I just started to cry and think about you both. And I could not forget how you and Papa once had told me to never give up fighting for my dreams. But the only dream I have is seeing you both smiling. Mama, I seem to remember the beautiful times before I had when I was just little, Francisco, fragile and shy. And you were always there to hold me in your arms, taking away all the terrible fears I had as a lone child. I miss you in a heartbeat, and I want you to know how much I love Papa and you with all my heart. If you can hear my voice from the somber distance, I just want you to know I'll be coming home soon. Oh, Mama, I miss you in a heartbeat, and I want you to know how much I love Papa and you with all my heart. If you can hear my voice from the somber distance, I just want you to know I'll be coming home soon. Oh, Mama, I love you with all my heart, and I'll be coming home soon.
Okay. That was a very interesting tribute to his mother and his father and, you know, I about his childhood and you know, wanting to see them again. and how, you know, his obviously his mother was very sick, and he couldn't have been there. I mean, how heartbreaking is that for him? I mean, the story is actually heartbreaking. I hope this is just fiction and this actually didn't happen, where both his parents died of COVID. But it's a very somber poem. I hope that he is able to get home and see his parents and or his mother. This is awful, actually. I hope everything works out for you, Frank, or that this is a work of fiction. This is a very sombering poem indeed. Deb, your thoughts on this?
You know, I actually remember this one from when he shared it the first time, and by the time he was done then, it was like all I could think to write was, I feel like I want to cry. The wording and something in my gut is telling me that I heard him talk about this realistically.
Yeah, he just put it on the board.
And that, okay, and that he did suffer through this, and the amount of emotion that I feel like my heart just breaks. And I think that he did an incredibly powerful job putting all that to word and being able to, like, I have to wonder if he had to pause in between some of the stanzas because, like, it grabs you by the gut. Just as powerful hearing
it
the second time.
Yeah, it's like you're speechless. You just want to hug him and just you just feel every emotion that he has. And like you said, crying, and it's just the reaction you have. It's like you don't know what to say except I'm so deeply sorry. And you poured such emotion into that page. It's an amazing piece. Back and forth.
Yeah, there's a sense of anguish and helplessness when someone you care about is in pain and there's nothing that you could do, you know, particularly when it's a family member like your mom. This is one of those things that really tugs at the heartstrings, like you say. It's a very relatable emotion and easy to envision, you know, and like you're all saying, it's tragic to have to go through something like that. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, time constraints or whatever is preventing you from being there for that person. And, you know, you have to sit there knowing that, you know, not only are they going through it, but you can't even reach out and hold their hands. It's torture, it really is. And he captured all of that in the tone of it in a wonderful way.
Absolutely. And AP, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a heck of a ride. And it's hard to comment on because you have to respect the pain, and you have to lay witness to the pain as you're hearing the story, and you can hear it in his words, and you can hear it in how he says it in the poem. Great respect, Frank, for writing it. Very, very honest, very bare writing, and very well written.
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful share, Frank.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if it was during the time when they weren't letting anybody in to see their family, even when they knew what the outcome was about to be. When they were, you know, when we were at the worst heights of it.
Absolutely. That's just crazy. All right. Mr. Raconteur, I am going to put your beautiful poem up. And then we're going to hit play for you.
Glimpsing Your Reflection by Raconteur. Rosebud lips and eyes that once glistened, veiled in rivulets of saline-tinged fractals, silently pleading misfortune, the currency against which your checks are signed. Just another moment driving you out of your mind. The silence deafening, your breast reluctantly thrums, echoing the words that once brought you to your knees. I see your burdens and share your pain. It kills me, offering sympathy like glue, watching helplessly as you're cleaved in twain. It's not my words on the page, but how they found their way there, poured from deep within you, washing over me and touching every fiber of my being. The beauty you see is but a reflection of you, the plaintive call of a heart cannibalized over time, offering everything and asking nothing, aspiring simply to be acknowledged, deserving to be nurtured, revered as a priceless gift, defying extinction. End poem.
Wow. I see your burdens and share your pain. It kills me. Offering sympathy like glue, watching helplessly as you cleave in twain. I don't know how you write the way you write, but you certainly do have a way of making things sound so deeply sad, yet full of hope and romance and come, let me fall in your arms so you can make everything all better for me. You just do it so beautifully. And this is another one. The silence defying, deafening, your breast reluctantly thrown, echoing the words that once brought you to your knees. Okay, I can do that. You can. I'll just tell you all my worlds, all my pain, and you can just take care of that for me. That would be perfect. And everything would be good. Deb, your thoughts, please.
Well, for starters, I like that the first thing you said was, wow, because I actually have this one saved. Me and a couple other people on the side, I'm looking there, seeing, but my file is not. My file is called Wow. So, like, it's one of those ones where, okay, I just saw it pop up yet because I missed it. Hit the window. Make that on five list. Anyway, stuff like, where do I pick? It's not my words on the page, but how they found their way, poured from deep within you, washing over me and touching every fiber of my being, aspiring simply to acknowledge, to be acknowledged, deserving, to be nurtured, reserved as a priceless gift, defying extinction. But wait a minute, something else. The plaintive call of a heart cannibalized over time. Holy cow. Cannibalized over time is so, you would think an over overemphasized phrase, but it's perfect. It's like one person breaking someone else's home so bad that they cannibalized it. I think that's a brilliant metaphor. And I really enjoy hearing it again.
Thanks, Deb.
And AP.
Yeah, it's a lovely piece, Rick. It just goes and captures a real sense of place with its words, and I think the word choices were excellent, and I think as always the way you read it really gave it power and gave it presence.
Thanks, AP.
Yeah. Well, actually, the last poem we have for the night is Deb's. So, AP, you're going to have to do my other thing and send it back to me.
No, I'm not. Because
I
just
we're going to be done here.
Oh, I just finished
see,
it.
Look, you did it while we're on the radio. Of course you did. Of course you did.
He told me he would.
I was multitasking.
Of course you are.
And I have to, so if you want to know a couple of things, it's got the repeating line that you'll see here, which is hard. It's then got the same rhyme pattern all the way through. That's more difficult. So the thing that makes it harder still is it's only got 8 syllables per line. And so in your original piece, you had up to 13, 14 syllables. You had some wonderful thoughts. So I've had to carve it all back down. My apologies. So,
okay, well, let's go through it then.
This is 5 o'clock monsters of Villanelle, and it goes a bit like this. 5 o'clock monsters dance by smile, sundown cooled of dream nightmares. Moonlight romance beams turn hostile. Sunflower heads and willows while the temperature of life fares. 5 o'clock monsters dance by smile. Lips fly, consequences meanwhile, play undermines as courage stares. Moonlight romance beams turn hostile. Frosted windows, pain as resile, reality's holes of affairs. 5 o'clock monsters dance by smile. Picnics and laughters reconcile, idiots incompetence bears. Moonlight romance beams turn hostile. Sanity grows, relax a while. Silence and stress held peace to cares. Moonlight romance beams turn hostile. 5 o'clock monsters dance by smile. End poem.
Very nice. Wow, I really like that. Yes, I do. So, first line of first stanza comes last line of second stanza.
Yep.
And then the
first
last stanza,
and
the
then,
last line.
Yep. Yep.
The last line becomes the last of the second and the third and then the last two. Okay. So that's pretty stressful. Yeah, you got to make sure those two lines are pretty damn good because you're going to carry the rest of your poem.
Yeah, exactly right, Sweat. Exactly right. They've got to be good, but they've got to be versatile because they're going to be trying to pull the story forward. Yeah. If you get them wrong, it's pretty messy.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I thought, though, that the rhyme scheme had to be A-B, but meanwhile,
it has to be A-B-A, but it has to repeat down the line, yeah. So you have to keep the same rhyme.
Right.
And that makes it more difficult, too.
Because the other one is, the last one is different, but... Cool. Thank you for showing me.
Yeah, I just thought it was easier to show you an example of the ones that you've done than sort of, you know, say all theoretically. You know, it's often easier to see one in front of you.
Not only that, it's an excellent poem. I mean, it's an excellent write. I mean, I really like the way it's written, too. I mean, sunflower heads and willows wild, the temperature of life bears, 5 o'clock monster stands up, smile. I really like how you shortened that line, too. Not that my line wasn't better, but I like how you did this.
No, your line was better. Let me be quite honest, your line was better. Because you had 15, 13 syllables, and so, you know, you just went bang, and it was great, but it just wasn't a villanelle, that's all.
You know, I don't get to tease you too often, but, you know, I have to tease you sometimes. It is brilliant, of course. No, I really like how that came out. Yeah. I like idiots, incompetence, bears. That's a really great line, too. Yeah, silence is stress, health, peace, who cares? No, you did this is amazing. It's amazing how you can write how two poems and you know, they come together so well, and yet they can mean completely different things. I really like when that happens.
Correct.
So this is going to be cool.
Absolutely.
Just like Saturday Night, I can't wait how you and Hatter are different than me and Sky, or if we're going to be very much
yes.
the same way. I'm very excited to see how that's going to come out.
Absolutely.
I'm excited,
yeah.
too. I should say, too, while we're in a temporary lull in proceedings, I'm going to host the program tomorrow night, and it's just open poetry with AP. So come down. You put a poem up on the board, all that stuff. I'll be here tomorrow night to do an open stuff.
Bring your own scissors.
Yeah, bring your own
all
scissors.
All that stuff. Even scissors. Well, scissors if you
Maybe
want.
I need to write
anyway,
a little dark.
So.
No. All right, Deb. Or
a little.
Deb, your thoughts?
I'm always impressed when he does these, but then to take somebody else's and that quick whip it into shape and to read it for you is really impressive. And although yes, I agree your lines were beautiful, you got to go by that's part of one of the hardest things about this is that you got to do it and also not just rhyme and do the pattern and do the trickle down and everything else, but you got to count syllables too. So it's a complicated thing. So, yeah, it came out great.
And before I get comments from Actor, hello, 603.
Hello. Hello. I'm hiding in my bathroom. I'm a child.
Oh. Hello, Sky.
Is there a good echo in there?
I have a house full of sleeping people in the other room.
Okay, so everybody be quiet because it's very late where she lives.
I've got my mom and the two kids sleeping in my one room because I live in a studio. So.
That's
just to
awesome.
Say hi to you and leave you and then go.
Hi, baby.
You're just in time for sweet death, my story.
I'm just in time for what?
I'm getting a lesson on how to write a poem. Yeah, Deb's going to read me my bedtime story.
Oh, good.
As soon as Rack, but Rack's going to comment on AP's poem that he wrote for me. Because I tried to write a form and I didn't quite do it right, so AP showed me how to do it.
Right, and I want to say that, you know, this is, I can't help but use the expression form versus function because the way that you wrote the poem, Sweet, was more verbose in the sense of you know, trying to say what you wanted to say. So when you try and make it fit the form like AP did, you could see the difference in the words and the way that it some of the feelings that it conveys, what you may or may not lose, you know, when you do something like that, and why some people choose or not, you know, it can be a little restrictive and change the feel of the overall piece. But, you know, there's enough of it there that you could tell it's the same poem, but, you know, it's still slightly different and very unique. So that repeating line makes a huge difference, too.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. And now, Deb, it is time for your bedtime story. I'm very excited. If we are ready to read.
I am excited, too, but I could not find my mute button. But I found it. And I'm headed over there. I'm headed over there right now. There it is. Okay.
All right.
And this is your poster I made for you. Chop down a little.
I love that, too.
That's some visuals from the story. And it's called A Warm Slice of Pie with a Side of Ice Cream. Here we go. The Princess. Snow White dwells with dwarfs in the cottage tucked in cypress tree trunks in the ivy forest. All seven guys dig at the mines outside town, dressed with coveralls, suspenders, and vests. She wears a hoop ribbon headband, cherry red, with a cobalt blue goldrod satin dress. The Queen. Two eyes spy the Queen of Darkness sleepy in the city that the people say is a mile high. Perched on the top of the pedestal throne, built by all the coin gnomes chaperone guys. Sweet calls the fellows jumpy, crazy, and mean, angry, lonely, sad, and weepy, but all are allies. The pies. The blazing sun sets and the Parmesan moon rises. Dwarfs march home singing as they breathe apple pie baked by their princess with cinnamon butter on top. As the gnomes sniff juicy meat that sweet chef fry to bake with diced liver cubes, sauteed in bone broth, top mashed potatoes from shepherd's brain pie. Her crew hangs up their pointed hats to sit at the table and meet those hats covering every little gnome head are the midget zombies that Queen P call the night shift. The thugs from the gnomes, they are mini walking dead, glittering diamonds. Princess White and the dwarf miners head to bed for the night. All their stress melting away from the pie high as they all snore. Now as they sleep, picturing sugar plum berries and warm pies, Queen Sweet Pea ships the zombie studs to the mines to score. Tugging green wagons and carrying bone broth in thermoses, zombie cat burglars slip into the dwarf brothers' diamond mine, loading up glitter and nuggets to pull home for their queen, dragging the doll catchers that they hogtied with leather leashes just for the piggy pudding made with scabbed blood and spleen. And
this is fabulous. Oh, my God, Deb, I love this so much. Oh, this is so great. Oh, I love Parmesan Moon Rises. That sounds delicious. Oh, my God. Oh, midget zombies. The queen can call it night shift. The thugs are not gnomes. They're the mini walking dead. Oh, this is so good. Got all my monsters. Got all the grossness, it's got everything, and it has diamonds. Who could not ask for more? Zombies, diamonds, crazy things going on, diced liver cubes sauteed in bone broth, topped with mashed potatoes and shepherd's pie, brain pie, because we're talking real shepherds, not that crazy Irish dish, but of course they have brains of real shepherds. And who doesn't want a hog-tied dog catcher? Yes, but I also have diamonds. That's the best kind of thing. Three zombies to get diamonds. I love that.
Imagine my surprise set. I couldn't for the life of me remember what the dwarves mined for. And then when I got there and I read the word diamonds, the rest of the story wrote itself. It was just, anyway.
Diamonds and zombies all in one poem. How great is that? Sky, my dear, what did you think of that?
I thought this was absolutely brilliant. I love the way that you kind of set it up. The picture with it was absolutely brilliant. And so I just have to get back to the, oh, my phone is, it's really stink, my phone here. And people are dropping stuff all over the place. All right, first of all, the little nods to fiction, I absolutely love. I love how you almost put it into like a vignette form, but it's not truly. It's kind of like just infections, which I enjoy. Of course, the princess queen in disguise, the blazing sun, the carry theme when you talk about Snow White dwells in a dwarf in the cottage, and you kind of set up this great emotion and this great through the guise of that fiction, but keeping a deeper meaning throughout. I think that is a very, sometimes it's very hard to balance them both, balance that truth and that endearment, and then also carrying the guise of fiction, which I thought you did beautifully. I think my favorite part would have to be the glittering diamonds. I really liked that bit, and then the green wagons carrying both brought. And of course, anytime anybody brings zombies into a poem, I'm automatically in. So, brilliantly done.
Thank you, Sky, Sky, Sky.
Thank you. Excellent.
That's so sweet.
That's just awesome. Yes. And, Bracken, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was drawn to the bone broth and liver cubes too. You know, anything that has to do with food and recipes and things like that. And I could imagine making something like that with liver and bone broth. But the thing that struck me too was shepherd's pie, because that word, you could take that to mean something that I know you didn't mean, but shepherds and sweet pea could mean dogs. So
No.
I know that's not where you were going, but my mind, I can't help but twist things a little bit. The diamonds and the dwarves and all of that were gorgeous. And you know, the Queen of Darkness and Princess White and all of that made a wonderful story. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, it was great.
Appreciate it.
And AP.
Yes. Yes. Well, I particularly like the structure of the poem to start with. So I liked how the princess and the queen were sort of smaller in line, and so the pies built to the glittering diamonds, which was more complex and sort of heavy and had a longer sort of line structure. So I like the structure of the poem, number one. Number two, it's a wonderful idea to have the figgy pudding in, because of course figgy puddings do have suet, which is not quite blood and spleen, but just not far away. And have that finish with that was pretty cool. So I did like the diamonds. I sort of felt pink diamonds in the back of my head. But I did like the figgy pudding. Well done, Deb.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's awesome.
And Hatter just found his phone in the laundry suite, so I don't think he's going to be able to call.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So he just texted me, so he just found it.
All righty then. Well, that's sad, but at least he was in our hearts and my mind. That's okay. Well, that's all I have. That's a great lost scissors. Very nice.
Thank you very much.
So that ends the, yeah, that's really, really great. Well, thank you for helping me with my stress tonight, you guys. Got through all the poems. We got a lot of giggles. I learned a poetry form a little better tonight. It's been a rough couple of weeks here. Things can only get better. I'm sure that's a song somewhere or a saying. Thanks again for everybody that wrote for the show, that showed up, hung out with me. I really appreciate it. Tomorrow night is AP with Open Poetry.
I have a poem for you.
Saturday
night.
What are you doing? Oh, you have a poem for me? I'm sorry. Guy has a poll for me.
You can continue, but don't hang up because I was sleeping and I woke up and I looked at the clock and I was like, oh, I gotta call her and read her a poem. So I gotta read you my poem.
I'm so sorry. I apologize. My girl in the attic has a poem and I'm shutting down the show on her. Okay. Please read me your poem because you are someone like the mostest of the greatest of poets. And how dare I do something like that to you?
I don't know if I can copy the link on my phone. Hold on. I'm sorry.
Or is it?
I don't have access to the computer. It's called Untitled because I had to pull it from, I pulled it from a back file on my computer because it's so old and I don't
can I get
have
to
it on
it?
Yeah, just go on my thing and just type in Untitled. I'm sorry. For some reason, it's not copying on my, and copying and pasting on my cell phone. I don't usually use my cell phone.
A typically bathroom on
the list for internet. It doesn't even have a title. That's how raw this poem is.
Well, you have quite a few that say Untitled.
No, I just have one.
You have one from 2015. You have one from 3 months ago.
Apparently, I don't need my poems. I want the one from 2015.
Okay. I will get that.
Thank you. Sorry. I'm putting you to work. I didn't realize I couldn't cut
and
paste.
There you go. Very interesting.
All right, so we're talking about anger and anxiety. So I've got two moms. One of them is taking over my bed for the night, and that's the one who pretty much raised me most of my life. But I have my birth mother, and this was kind of, I guess, in dedication to her, or not really in dedication, but about her. Because she does have PTSD and seasonal depression disorder and has a lot of anxiety. And it always, you always wonder, is anxiety like that learned behavior or genetics? And I do think part of it is, can be genetics a little bit passed on through that because I really wasn't with her a lot. And I do have a lot of things from her like that, but not nearly as bad as this woman is. But this is called Untitled because I never named it. 2015, called Her Tears Never, I mean, it goes, Her Tears Never Glisten on Cheeks in Daylight, only with one exception, and that is to me. People are bewildered when nerves set in. She cannot drive too far of distances. When grinding teeth clench and fists tighten, and a loud bustle or crowded public places. She grips the door handle as a passenger. White knuckles become prominent. Holds her breath when cars pass too fast. And intakes sharp air with the unexpected. She says things without regard of others, but sees deep the words said to her. Borrows them so far into thought, they consume and worry overwhelm. I speak with a knowing of reaction, calculate all possible outcomes. So some laugh at the stories I just like to share. I will admit I giggle a bit too at the silliest, but mostly as my own sort of guard. I wish you could go outside without needing to take medicine or take the trip to visit me every so often. I wish you didn't have to see the panic stretched across your face, the straining attempts to conceal it. And of course, I know the fear, in her eyes, the line her lips form and flexing jaw. Tears never glisten when speaks in the light, but I can tell the good days from the bad, the held words and flinch of oppression. There are times I do become impatient, perhaps the selfish sort of righteousness, jaded of all those things I felt I never got from her. But I remember the compassion that she taught me, the skill of curving my own nature and seeing through others' eyes. And though it was never perfect, growing up on the other side of someone's anxiety, it taught me ways as an adult to walk others through theirs, and eventually how to deal with my own. And poem.
Wow. What a beautiful poem. What a beautiful tribute.
That is the topic. We're talking about intimacy, right? Hi. Yeah. Are we fine? Okay.
You did perfect. You're good. I love how she, you know, I remember the compassion she taught me, the skill of curbing my own anger and seeing through others' eyes, and thought it was never perfect growing up on the other side of someone's anxiety. It taught me as an adult to walk others through theirs and eventually how to deal with my own. It's amazing how you can learn what it's like from other people's points of view or through perception. My dad suffered really bad from PTSD from being in Vietnam. And I can't even imagine, you know, he was a tunnel crawler. And I can't imagine being underground, people fighting above you and crawling from one point A to point B to get messages. And literally just, he's a very tiny man, obviously. And then, you know, trying to live the rest of your life, getting over that anxiety. And, you know, he did it through his faith, through prayer. He was a minister. But even so, that you could see that PTSD sometimes when he got felt closed in or even where congregations would kind of come around him or something. You could just see that anxiety in him. And just watching that and watching him try to stay calm. But, you know, he had definitely had his moments, but growing up, I saw that and how he managed his way out of it and managed to get out of situations. And yet sometimes he did it calmly, sometimes not so calmly. But I see that when, you know, I was able to watch that and learn from that and view that. And I think that some of us are lucky, and I think others are not so lucky because they were people that didn't get the advantage of having someone who learned how to control it. They were unfortunately on the other side of that and only saw the darkness. So this is something I think that is really great that you can pay tribute. You learned from them and now have the ability to kind of learn how to control your own anxiety, because I can control some of mine and medication helps a lot too. This is a beautiful tribute and I really like how you wrote it. Deb, what are your thoughts on that?
Did you say me?
Yep.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Sky, I think this one reads like little snippets of memories of pieces that grip you and won't go away. The one part, man. An intake sharp air with the unexpected. She says things without regard of others, but seeds deep, the words said to her. burrows them so far into thought, they consume and worry, overwhelms. I must speak with a knowing of reaction, calculate all possible outcomes. It was like that walking on eggshells. You can't just speak because it might trigger something. Some laugh at stories you share, and you giggle a bit too at the silliest, but mostly as your own sort of guard. And it's like those walls that you put up and you hide behind the smile or you hide behind the giggle. But and then when you read the part about you just want to go outside without needing to take medicine and all the little pieces that just kept tugging and tugging. And like I said, it was just like little clips, little pieces of emotion that you were sharing on a page. But I remember the compassion that she taught me, the skill of curbing my own anger. So it's like, you know, the lesson learned the hard way, but learned. And then the end, and eventually how to deal with my own, another strong ending. Great share, Sky.
Thank you, Deb. And AP.
Reminds me, it's a couple of things. The first is all of those sort of statements, and I agree with Deb, that sort of sit there and sort of, I'm going to say infuse away, because it's almost like all the statements and memories sit as if it's a teapot. And those memories are sort of sitting there infused as tea leaves and infusing into this tea that sort of sits and stirs and gets richer over time before you sort of pour it out. And in your life, you sort of drink of it. And when I think about people who are adults, there's a fundamental tenet, and that is that they've got to forgive their parents. And I just think this is a beautiful poem of forgiveness and learning from one's parents.
Thank you, Eddie. And Rakitor.
Yeah, I like the way that you go through the memories of it. It's not just I want to say learned behavior, because, you know, in dealing with your mom and her PTSD, you kind of learn how to deal with that and ultimately with your own issues as well. But, you know, it's knowing, you know, kind of, I almost want to say what box to put her in, you know, in the sense of why she acted the way that she acted. You know, you're not making excuses for it. You're just understanding where she's coming from and responding accordingly. And, you know, that's not the easiest thing to do, especially when you're younger. It becomes kind of a survival thing, you know, when you have someone like that in your life. And, you know, if you recognize that you're doing it, you can make a beautiful lesson out of it and learn something, you know, that's going to benefit you in other ways as well. You know, you said all of that in a beautiful way with reverence to the memories of your mom.
Thank you, Rex.
Sorry.
Well, thank you for letting me leave my home. I've got my other mom here. She's been systematically cleaning everything in my house.
Nice. No, you send her to my house.
No, I mean, she took apart my entire vacuum just so that she could, she brought two Q-tips to the fan. She's staying over for a few days. And I'm like, you're supposed to be relaxing and visiting me. She's just been cleaning my entire apartment. So I've got her and the two kids in the other room. But I didn't think I was going to call, but then I fell asleep and I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm calling. I'll find something. And then I had to find this piece in my file. So I'm glad I did. Thank you for not closing out before I read.
No. I didn't know you. I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a poem, and I feel awful, but I'm so glad that you shared.
Oh, no, no, because I just put it up. It says 5 months ago, but I just took it on a back draft, and I just loaded it up. So thank you. And I hid it. I hid it in the shadows.
A beautiful piece. You hid it in the shadows. I know. And, you know, tonight, again, I shared a poem that rhymes and didn't have any horror in it. There's something wrong with me. But tomorrow, I think I'm going to change that because it's open poetry, so I need to do something like in the realm. I might write a poem of why I hate pumpkin before October. So
good thinking.
Might have to kill some pumpkins tomorrow. I'm just saying. It's in my craw. I have to do something. So thank you, everybody, for coming. Jay Hatter, I know you're out there, and I'm sorry I didn't get to hear your lovely voice. Thank you, AP, for helping me with my little project I've got going. So now I've got to think about that and get
Pleasure.
That ready. See where I'm going to do that. Sunday night, we're definitely going to have pretty sweet teas. Even if I don't have my better half with me, I'm just going to have to roll with that. We're going to have fun with that. Monday we have Deb. Go ahead with your great show. What's coming up on that?
Just pick a number, and I will add art by Ciro Marchetti, and you can show me what you got. 10 p.m.
10 p.m. And, Rack, do you have any shows coming up anywhere?
No. All quiet on the Western Front.
No, I'm on the Western Front. You're on the Eastern Front. Just letting you know.
Fair enough.
Still quiet.
Okay. Still quiet, no matter what. This is true. And I believe that's about it. Everyone have a beautiful night, and we'll be talking to you in about 24 hours or so. Have a good
Thanks,
one.
Late.
Night, guys.
Okay,
night.
Bye.
Can I have love and respect.
Yeah. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bonsoir.